Yesterday on the show, we brought you a story about some of the controversy going on behind the scenes at the Phoenix Art Museum. Today, let's turn to the art.
A new exhibition opening to members today is giving one modernist artist her due long after her death. You've probably never heard of Agnes Pelton. In fact, the curator behind the new show had never heard of her before he began researching it. Gilbert Vicario is the Selig family chief curator at the Phoenix Art Museum, and he showed me around this new exhibition yesterday as lights were going up and the finishing touches were being put in place. It's called Agnes Pelton, Desert Transcendentalist, and it delves into the life and work of this relatively unknown artist whose work Vicario came across kind of by accident.
I've been here for 3 years, and the first month after beginning at Phoenix Art Museum, I studied the collection, and in one of the American art galleries, I encountered Agnes Pelton for the first time. And they were in proximity to our Georgia O'Keeffe's, and I was surprised that I had never heard of her and became really fascinated by this artist, and subsequently did research and learned that her last survey exhibition was almost 23 years ago at the Palm Desert Art Museum.
So walk me through this a little bit. Where do we begin here, and what pieces did you choose to put right in the entrance?
Well, when you first walk into the show, we have some early sketches, and then we have a timeline. One of her teachers was Arthur Wesley Dow, who was a very important modernist at the time, and who was also George O'Keeffe's teacher. So she comes from that circle of early modernist abstractionists, but then she grows tired of New York. At a certain point during that time period in the teens, she gets invited to the Southwest. And then in the late 20s, after traveling extensively, she then decides to move out west, finally settling in Cathedral City, which is just 6 miles outside of Palm Springs. And, you know, everybody who knew Agnes and a lot of the biography explains that she was a very private person. She never married. She never had children. That part of her life is there's nothing really, nobody really knows. But we know that she craved solitude. And connected with the landscape in the desert, and that was basically her source of inspiration.
Was she relatively unknown while she was a working artist, or did this come later that she sort of was lost to history?
You know, that's a good question, because during the course of my research, I found that she actually had a healthy career in California. She exhibited frequently, and she got a lot of press. Problem with Agnes, if you want to start comparing her with O'Keeffe, since there were so very little women artists at the time, kind of in the same part of the country, O'Keeffe had a lot of more inroads in New York. Agnes had none of that. So Agnes basically just worked quietly for about 30 years. From 1932, when she finally settles in Cathedral City, to 1961 when she dies.
So as you're studying her and her work, like, did it evolve into what we see in this exhibit today, or were there different stages of what she did?
Absolutely. So her first survey exhibition in 1995 showed everything. It showed her early work. It showed what she called her imaginative paintings, which was, for example, this one called Vinewood, was exhibited in the Armory Show in 1913. And so you can kind of see they always featured a female figure in some kind of a natural setting.
It's like a wood nymph or something.
Yes, and so it was definitely kind of embedded in these sort of romantic notions, Arcadian notions of painting. But then she kind of breaks free from that. And in 1925, she does what I consider to be her first pure abstraction. Everybody at the time, all art students were reading Kandinsky and reading about that kind of abstraction. And when you look at this, I mean, to me, this really looks like Kandinsky. It reminds me of German Expressionism. But this one, I think for her, unless there's a piece that's been, you know, that's been lost and we don't know about, it really represents a moment when she just finally lets go of the figure and just kind of delves right into ideas that are abstract and esoteric. And so as you continue through the exhibition, you'll see a lot of early paintings. This is a piece that's owned by the Des Moines Art Center, which I didn't even know was there. I worked at the Des Moines Art Center and it was in storage all that time. And then as you move down, you start seeing these kind of references to vibrations and energy.
Yeah, that's what this would remind me of more than anything. Almost, it feels new agey almost.
And that's exactly the sort, I mean, that is the perfect way to describe.
This is new agey like in the 1920s, teens?
The 1920s. Well, that's the beginning. You know, theosophy, the Theosophical Society, they were all kind of looking at these new notions of spirituality, art, and science, all melded together. Buddhism, all sorts of religions all coming together to create this kind of unifying thing. But then what happens when you start going through the more mature works in the show is that these kind of horizon tableaus and these more abstract representations, they kind of synthesize and come together.
Let's go see.
In more subtle ways, as it were. This is one of my favorite walls in the show, but Messengers is the one that we own. And they're both early, probably her first depictions or impressions of the desert. This one, for example, features palm fronds and then the kind of jagged peaks and then, of course, the low horizon in the back. But this one is really her representation of a sandstorm. So you get that yellow light. I think a lot of them, to me, look like stage sets. They have that kind of impression. Some of them have more of the horizon, but other ones really, really become these strange tableaus, as it were.
They're really beautiful. So when you discovered these first couple of paintings that were in the permanent collection, this one included, and you started to look into who this woman was and who what she had done in her career, like what was it that grabbed you about it? Like what was it that made you want to know more?
Honestly, I couldn't believe that no one had, that there hadn't already been a show. I've done a lot of exhibitions with women artists, many of who have been overlooked. And so to me, that fit perfectly. And, you know, I just thought if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. Or sadly, no one will do it.
So, I mean, how does that feel to have put this together and to be able to give her some of the recognition that maybe she wouldn't have had otherwise?
I mean, that's what we do. I mean, that's what curators, hopefully, that's part of the mission of having that interest in rewriting or correcting art history. And I find that, you know, there are a lot of younger generations of curators now who are really doing that. And it's kind of amazing to see.
So we live in the desert, right? And this is such a part of what I think we all identify with our city and this place. So when you look at these, does that in any way inform for you where we live?
Absolutely. I mean, I moved from Iowa. And so I've always told people, I think this is probably the most exotic region in the country. And so you can't help but be inspired by the light, by the sunsets. And, you know, there's a real energy, not to be too new agey, but, you know, it's apropos to this exhibition. And so I think all of those things inspire and inform you. And I think you'll see that in the show. I think people will connect to that.
Gilbert Vicario, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Gilbert Vicario is the Selig Family Chief Curator at the Phoenix Art Museum and the curator of their new exhibition, Agnes Pelton, Desert Transcendentalist. And now the show is going to travel to the Whitney in New York, to the Palm Springs Art Museum, and to the New Mexico Museum of Art in Santa Fe. The public can see it here at the Phoenix Art Museum starting tomorrow.